This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A story about the plumber in all of us. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. It was going to be a summit about nuclear issues, but Russia, Ukraine, Crimea are dominating a meeting of world leaders in the Netherlands. President Obama is due to speak about Russia sanctions in about 3 hours there. While European leaders are not ready to press forward with new sanctions on Russia targeting maybe banking, energy, and military hardware, what is clear is that Russia is being ostracized from the Group of Eight Club of Nations. The BBC's Anna Holligan is at the meeting in The Hague. Anna, good morning.
Good morning. I'm coming to you from inside the summit venue here where the G7 leaders are present. President Obama is here and they're meant to be talking about nuclear security, but in fact that has been very much overshadowed by the latest developments in Ukraine.
It sounds official now. Russia is no longer going to be in the Group of Eight.
At least for now, what we've seen in the last 24 hours effectively amounts to the formalization of Russia's isolation by the international communities. The big question, though, now, I think, is how much of an impact will this actually have on Russia?
I saw Mr. Lavrov's quote, "If our Western partners believe that this format has outlived its usefulness, then so be it," he said.
Exactly. And then, so now the question is, what next? And we'll be hearing from President Obama. We know that he has been putting pressure on his European allies to take more, or be willing to take more of an economic hit, because it's Europe that would really have to bear the major brunt of that.
The BBC's Anna Holligan speaking to us from the conference center in The Hague, where a group of seven leaders are meeting. Anna, thank you.
You're welcome.
The load of student debt for grad students in America is up 8% in 4 years, and it's a problem, according to a fresh report from the New America Foundation. A good way to rack up debt? Go to law school. The average debt for law students in 2012 was about $140,000, which is like buying two Lexuses and a Porsche all on credit. Sally Herships reports.
Considering law school, you may have to find a new way to make mom proud.
The state of the job market for new lawyers right now is dicey.
John Cashman is with legal recruiting firm Major Lindsay in Africa. He says if you're at a top school or a top student, there are opportunities. If not, get ready to scramble.
I think the value of a law degree is basically the same. What's changed is the calculation of risk and return is much more important.
The American Bar Association says there are about 39,000 students currently in law school, the smallest class since the 1970s. Still, Cashman says some students could earn starting salaries as low as $30,000. Factor in tuition of up to $200,000.
That could take you like 20 years to pay back.
That's exactly right.
So Cashman says prospective lawyers need to make careful calculations about the value of their degrees. The dean of the University of North Carolina's law school told me while the job market for lawyers isn't growing, tuition bills are. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Now, a story from Work in America, our latest partnership with the New York Times. After years of recession, Americans entering or re-entering the workforce would love to find something recession-proof that might be providing a service that people always need, no matter how bad things are. They say, if you're a plumber, you will never be poor. New York Times reporter Ann Carnes met with one man who decided that plumbing makes a lot of sense.
My name is Joseph Rosenblum. I go by Joe. I work for Allied Plumbing and Drain. And I am a fourth-year apprentice. At age 19, I joined the military, went to the Marine Corps. We ended up going to Iraq and Kuwait for the actual war in 2003. Whenever I got out of the Marine Corps, I got into property management. I just got to a point in my career in property management that I decided that it just wasn't working out for me, and I decided to make a career change. One of the biggest things that kind of led me to plumbing is that no matter how technical the world gets, plumbing is going to be a kind of a basic necessity or a commodity that everybody's going to have. You're never doing the same thing repetitively. You're not standing on one of those lines that you're sitting there pushing a button and you move something off a line all day long. You go through every single day. You don't know what city you're going to be in or what you're going to be doing. On an hourly basis, I went upon 15 to 18 an hour as a fourth year apprentice. Once you become a plumber, you go basically from your straight hourly to hourly plus commission. Only been here for a year, but my commission based and pay exceeds what my hourly rate would be. I know plumbers that make $50,000. I know plumbers that make $80,000, $90,000 a year. If you're just a guy that goes in and puts your 40 hours in a week and starts at 8 and gets off at 5, you're going to make a minimal salary. But if you put in a little bit of extra time, a little extra work, and you're going to do well. If I can work 10, 12-hour days sometimes to put in that extra overtime or whatever, that is a significant difference in pay. There's a lot of times you'll get a call at 4 o'clock and you got to go out there, and next thing you know, you're not getting home till 9, 10 o'clock. You can't just leave them there without a shower or without drains. You can't leave them there without hot water. So it's one of those things that you have to put in your dues and put in your time to make it happen.
The story is produced by Ann Carnes of the New York Times and Timothy Dennis of Marketplace affiliate KUAF in Fayetteville, Arkansas. For more on this, check out the Your Money section of today's New York Times. And online at marketplace.org, there's another Work in America story. It's about learning software coding in midlife. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.